Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Vagabond Dilemma, featuring my studious co-host, Rudy, and, well, me, Henry. Today's episode, we once again go visit one of the coldest regions on the Earth, where someone gets a piece of unexpected mail. Furthermore, we also uncover some dark secrets about society, and really tell you what it's like to race to a new destination. Without further ado, please enjoy the episode. Okay, I see how it is.
Yeah.
Today I we see
vibe.
How it is.
Today we vibe. You know what I thought of today, Henry?
What?
Let's just chill. No prep done. We just chill. There's no episode.
Alright, cool.
Let's go. So, what's been up to in your life?
Actually, I've been wanting to cook some more stuff again.
Oh, like what?
I don't know. That's kind of the question. It's going to sound really stupid.
Oh, you just want to cook. But I have been
in a cooking mood, but I don't know what to cook. And you know what the bigger thing is? Is that I also, like, overplan it in my head. Which means I put it off again. You know what I mean? I'm going to make a curry next week. Which you're free to still have some if you want.
I would like to try it.
We can discuss this offline.
Why? I just said yes.
Well, for further plans.
Is this one
I
of those things where, like, out of nice, like, you know, niceness, I'll offer it, but I hope he says no, and then I say yes, and you're like, well, fuck.
No, it's more like I don't want to discuss, like, making plans on the podcast.
Oh, that's
and that's kind of
because they can find your address, and then your massive fan crowd will just storm you. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Don't come to
Australia.
Alright. And now you have to make sure that's bleeped out, because if that's in the episode, I'm gonna fucking kill your ass, okay?
I am really, really tempted right now to just leave it in there.
Come on, I did it for a bit, you better cut it out,
okay? I will. You know what I'll do? I'll censor it, I'll leave the street, and I change the number, and I'll change it to 162.
No, you better fully censor it, you sicko. Alright, anyway. That's kind of where my mind's been at. If you have any cool suggestions. I also want to try fried rice because I haven't done that really.
I once tried fried rice.
And was it good?
You know this about me, but holy fucking shit. What is an egg? What's an egg? Like, it can be raw, it can be poached, it can be fried, it can be hard-boiled, it can be soft-boiled. What is an egg?
What
it's a non-existent. You know what I feel like? Egg is like one of those things that's like Schrodinger's cat. Until you actually open what's inside, you don't know what's inside. It could be anything. Whatever egg is inside, nobody actually knows.
I don't know.
In raw form, if you break it and the raw comes out, that's when it becomes raw. But before that, it wasn't. When you boil it and you open it, that's, you know, that's another state of it. But before anything, that's exactly the question, who came first, the chicken or the egg? Because chicken itself is such a cosmical universal creature. It's an atomic unit of animals. Because nobody knows its original state, or rather, the final state, when you think about it. So it's a loop. It's an atomic. Everything in this universe has have building blocks. Neurons, neutrons, chickens. It's all coming together.
It was the big three. Alright.
This is my chicken cosmos theory.
Right. So what have you been up to, Chief?
Right. Oh, right. We didn't mention it. I should have mentioned it faster. I had the time. Okay. Right now, I'm in a state of mind where I don't know my exam results just yet.
Mm-hmm.
And just like Schrodinger's cat, there is a potential of my outer state being that I am done with my bachelor. But I'm not going to talk about it too much because that's jinxing it. And I have no idea about the exam results yet.
He's done. He did it. Congratulations.
Please don't. You have honestly no idea how much I'm overthinking it these days.
Oh, just relax until you get it.
It's funny at this point. Like, holy fucking shit. I just want to be so done with this. It really, it gives no justice. Like, it doesn't, it's not represented in the media. People talk about it, but they mention it passingly, how much university exhausts you. Like, in movies, they always show that, yo, scientists do cool stuff and it's cool what you achieve and stuff like that. But let's be real. Show at least half a year prior to that week of just pain and suffering to get to the right point where you can commit research that they show in the movies and get to the point where it's super fun, right? You
sure.
have to be willing to go through suffering and pain to
okay.
get to the point where you can enjoy it. And it is enjoyable towards the end, like the practical experiments I've done throughout my university years. It's so fun. But to get to that point, for whoever is looking into university, just know that, you know, if you know you can stand just some hardcore studying, go for it. But if you're not sure of it, I don't know if it's worth for your mental health. I'm going to be real. Nobody talks about it. And I'm going to be real. After 4 years in this university, I loved every second of it as, like, you know, overall adventure. But I don't know if it was worth for my mental health.
I mean, I guess we'll find out in the future, huh?
5 years from now, Rudy's in like a psych ward, just completely deranged. It just all started mm-hmm. now.
It's like your own Outlast. Isn't that nice?
Oh my god, you're so right. I'm gonna become the one thing that I'm the king of.
What, horror games? Or what?
Well, I was gonna say specifically Outlast 1, because I own that bitch.
Okay.
Oh, Henry, what the fuck? The judge just kind of happened. It just came in. Oh my god. An episode pitch dropped. I think
okay.
I have an episode, Henry.
Wow. I'm glad that just popped into your fucking mailbox like that.
Yeah,
how
it's
convenient.
It's honestly crazy. It's unhinged how crazy this is.
Yeah. This is like Schrodinger's episode. You didn't know if there was going to be one before we started, but, you
true,
know.
True. Well, anyways, actually, I just quickly read through all of like the page, the full page, and
you're pretty
it seems,
quick.
Wow, this is a callback. And this episode, it seems to be, oh yeah, it says somewhere here in the small shred, we're going to test Henry's knowledge of his own podcast.
Oh god, no, I was wondering where this was going. fucked up world.
Well, specifically, actually... Because I was trying to come up with a minigame. And honestly, it shouldn't be that hard. But the gist of this episode will be that I will be talking about a specific person. But the gist is, you, doing this podcast, have heard of this person before. I will give you a clue that it's not any of our heroes that we've done. But it is somebody we've talked about. And you have to figure out in what context, or rather, what happened. Because, okay, let's put it this way. You'll be running on a timer that goes down. Because by the end of it, I'll just, if you haven't guessed by the start of our improv segment, then I'll just tell you the answer.
Hmm.
But if you can at any point before that guess where this is coming towards, then... I don't know. Oh, we're going out to dinner today? Beer's on me.
Alright, say no more.
My guy literally did the gamer pose.
Let me grab my notebook real quick, because I kind of forgot.
Do so, King, and I'll just already...
Alright.
So, today we are going to talk about a guy named Robert Falcon Scott. Any bells ringing in there?
I thought you weren't going to name the name.
No, I will. Otherwise, there would be no way you would guess this.
He's the buddy of Roald Amundsen, or whatever the guy's name was.
Nope.
He's Amelia Earhart's best friend.
Nope.
He's the best friend of the guy I'm doing next week.
Nope,
which
I
can't
even
reveal
know
yet.
Who you're doing next week, but sure.
Well, yeah, okay, I can't reveal that, but, you know, I already know. I think, actually, this is might be
you know
the guy
now
I'm doing
I came
next
over,
week.
When you say your answers, you have to be very specific, okay?
It's the friend of the dog from episode 5.
Fuck, how did you know?
Alright, go ahead.
Alright. Born June 6th, 1868, Plymouth, Devon, England. He was the third of 6 children born into a family with naval and military traditions. Which just means there's a lot of people from that family going in that area of expertise. So no wonder that after following some specialized education years, at the ripe age of 13, 1881, he began his naval career as a cadet. Imagine 13.
Okay.
You're a I can't even call you a boy. You're still a child.
Yes.
And you're already shipping.
A fucker works for DHL.
Right. I'm not gonna go into the details of how he advanced through the ranks, because there's a lot on Wikipedia page. Mm-hmm. He was on board many ships, so I will mention, though, that in 1894, while serving as torpedo officer on our HMS Vulcan, he learned the news of his family experiencing what could only be called a financial calamity. Well, at this point, he's already, you know, like, over 20, he's earning money, he's like, you know, for himself, he definitely is well off, but he's also helping family, because his father, John Scott, had sold the brewery he inherited from his father and invested the proceeds unwisely, leaving the family virtually bankrupt.
Bruh.
It's some, whoops. I don't know, NSP shit, probably.
Happens to the best of us, huh?
Real. And so what happened is, Robert and Archie, the two brothers who went off, Archie was more into colonial military service, and Robert was naval military service. Both of them were basically the only income the family had for them going. And brother Archie died after contracting typhoid in 1898, so Robert was the only sole income bearer for his mother and two unmarried sisters. Hmm. Which is a lot that day and age.
Right.
So obviously, needless to say, a promotion and extra income was something he could not pass away. However, naval ranks were filled with ambitious officers and non-existent promotional opportunities. It was very hard to actually, like, climb the ranks to a, like, a well-off payment job, right?
Right.
But, as luck would have it, in early June 1899, whilst in London, Robert encountered Clements Markham, who was now knighted and president of the Royal Geographical Society. Long story short, on June 11th, Robert volunteered as a leader for a somewhat secretive Antarctic expedition.
I mean, I just don't remember the name.
This is the best of us, am I right?
Because I remember the society as well.
Ah, well, on a day when you'll get good at this, maybe you'll get one day, huh?
Can I look at the episode names?
Just picture that beer, no. Obviously not, that's cheating.
How so?
I mean, honestly, you can, but I don't think it will help you.
Chief, say no more,
because if you're
going to
look up the guy's name, you already said it's Roald Amundsen, the one you mean.
No, it's not the one I mean.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure I was the one that did the episode about this.
Oh.
I just don't... I mean, okay. Go on.
Okay. So they thus came to be what we nowadays know as the Discovery Expedition from 1901 till 1904. Sponsored by the British government and led by Robert, the expedition got its name from the ship they used. Discovery was made for polar exploration and arrived in Antarctica in January 1902. Over the course of 2 years, the team mapped new regions of the continent, discovered new species of animals and plants. They also traveled to, at the time, farthest point south, at the latitude of, and I should have known how to read this by now, but the way it's written, it's not the way you're supposed to read this, but the way it's written is 82 degrees, then it's 17 south. I don't know how you're properly supposed to read this, but that's the coordinates. And at that point, that was the farthest point south anyone had ever gone.
Hmm. I also don't really know how to read that, to be honest.
Did you find what you were looking for?
No.
My guy literally going down the memory lane of our own podcast.
I mean, the problem is, right now I'm just, like, reading the names, and to be honest, the names themselves also don't really call back necessarily the memory, you know? I know specifically that we covered something like this. I just don't know who or what.
It's you know, he sometimes puts me on a spot about our own podcast.
When?
Last episode.
What did I do?
You said something that I completely drew a blank on. I was like, what the fuck? We did an episode like this?
Oh, right. But that wasn't even intentional to be a gotcha.
Henry, I'm just pulling your leg.
Well, I'll fucking stab your eye out, buddy, if you don't watch
that. This hostility.
Right. Leave my leg alone, you sicko.
What if I want to give some love to your leg? Just caress it?
No.
Give it some proper attention that it deserves?
That's crazy, because every time like a foot joke comes along, I swear to God that you shut that shit down immediately, and
yes,
here you are.
Yes, because I know... No, because when a foot job... No. Joke comes up, we're specifically in the company of... Actually, I can drop their name now because they've been in the podcast, but Anna and you both are fucking sickos.
No.
So within the context of you both, you will take that way too far to the point where I'm going to lose my appetite over whatever I'm eating at the moment.
Right.
So obviously I shut it down immediately.
And you caressing a leg is not like closely equivalent to that, you think?
Don't like watching. Look at my leg. Look at my leg. It's in the camera and I'm caressing it. You see? You're disgusting this?
Sexual harassment is what
this is.
Of
my own leg. I'm making you watch. Yes, that's sexual harassment. Yeah, that's
right. Put that fucking leg down, you sicko.
No, I love my legs. Look at this. Look at this. And I make the mic hear this. My slaps.
You know, you just made this so much more weird than any foot joke I could have ever thought of.
And that's fucking right. When I do a job, I do it properly and to the point.
No. You're bad for this.
And that's why my friends are jealous of me. Because I'm just better at everything they could ever imagine doing.
No.
It's fucked up. It's fucked up how you're so successful and even your friends don't even recognize that.
You know, you always say, I wish they were like nicer to me so I could be nicer to them. You just threw every opportunity of that out the window permanently with that little leg move. It's gone now,
Henry,
bud. You're fucking
as usual, I'll be the first person to give an olive branch. And you know, I love you, Henry. Or even are you a little
suck it, loser.
And and for our dear listeners, for those who think that I bully Henry, for those who think that I'm the rude one, it is not true. It's completely opposite. And you know what I can do when I'm editing my own episodes now? I can say whatever the fuck I want! And I can just mute Henry if he actually speaks up.
Actually, some real fucked up shit right now. Proper power abuse.
Okay, though. We're here for a specific reason. We're here to do a job, Henry. Let's be professional, huh?
Antarctica, let's get it.
Let's get it. Right. So after returning, Robert Falcon Scott had become somewhat of a national hero. Awarded by a myriad of medals and titles, for more than a year he was preoccupied with public receptions, lectures, and the writing of the expedition record, The Voyage of Discovery. Which did help his arrogance, that at the time already was a bit, you know, he was known to be somewhat of a ego man. But yeah, Scott was also a very proud man and didn't even allow anyone else to continue Antarctic expeditions in the familiar fields of Discovery's expedition.
What?
So there's a whole story about this. There's like two or three paragraphs on Wikipedia you can find out for those who's interested. But long story short, there was somebody else, I believe even a colleague who was on the Discovery expedition with Scott, who wanted to go to Antarctica again and potentially go even farther. But Robert was like, "Oh, you think you're better than me? Then do it on your own terms." Because that whatever field that we established where we did our research, I have the rights to use that. You don't. As in, like, it didn't explicitly say this, but he was like, if you're going to do an expedition where you're going to go to the farther than I did, then do it on your own terms, bitch, not with discovered ground, which the road I discovered.
That's some very selfish way of looking at exploring, but okay.
I mean, you remember
that's kind
that
of
in
a
this
dickhead.
Day and age, everybody's, like, every country's basically looking for how to, like, it's... I mean, I feel like the Antarctic expeditions and whatnot is like one of the last things in the age of discovery, so to speak, right? That people can still do on Earth. Because by that point, we probably have mapped all of the bigger or more necessary islands of the ocean, right? And it's like remote locations like these to get to. So obviously everybody's rushing, but it is pretty fucked up that they're both from Britain, so it would still go to England, the achievement, and they both, like, you know, Scott is like, hold it there.
The guy who he's racing against was the guy I'm supposed to guess?
What, Roald Amundsen?
No.
Then what are you getting at?
Was it Roald Amundsen? It wasn't, right?
Well, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people in this day and age trying to get to the pole.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
No. You have to remember in what context did I mention this guy before.
I don't remember.
Exactly.
Go on, then.
Right. His used-to-be colleague, Shackleton, had just returned from the Antarctic, right? Having narrowly failed to reach the pole. This is the guy who he didn't allow to go from there. And actually, the story goes that he, Shackleton, actually, being the good boy he is, actually fucking listened to this psycho and was like, okay, I'm gonna find my own landing spot. But because literally of weather and then some circumstances of the ship or something, he, to the point where he wanted to drop by, he no longer could, so he was forced at the time to go to not the original landing spot of Discovery, but it was in the region that they were, you know, exploring, right? So it was in the mapped region.
Right.
And Scott heard that later on, was like, yo, you broke the promise, because he made him promise that he wouldn't. And then, at the time, Shackleton was, like, berated for it, but nowadays everybody, like, you know, looking at it from side perspective, everybody within the exploring circles is like, you fucking idiots. It was so unethical of him to ask this to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyways, so Shackleton comes back and says to England and indirectly to Scott that, yeah, I almost reached the pole. So, this gave Scott the impetus to proceed with plans of his second Antarctic expedition. Officially a scientific expedition, but Robert's actual ambitions was to be the first man to the pole, as they called it back in the day. He was bitten by the pole mania. Apparently that was actually a term back then.
That's just what happened when, like, a Polish person, like, happened to bite you in the arm, and you got absolutely rabid from it.
Okay. 1910 till 1913, on an old converted whaler ship, Terra Nova Expedition was launched. Starting from Cardiff, Wales, in June, it arrived in Antarctica a year later. Base camp was established at Cape Evans on Ross Island. After a long and arduous journey using dog sledding and ponies, the expedition reached the pole on January 17, 1912. And, you know, I'm very benevolent today. Last chance. What did they discover?
A letter.
Yes! What did the letter say? Well, you don't have to know the letter itself, but...
That this person was here beforehand?
And who was there beforehand?
I don't fucking remember the name. I just know
you
the
story.
You already
named him!
I did? Then why didn't you fucking say so?
I told you. I literally... Run the episode back, I literally told you. You said Roald Amundsen, and I was like, yeah, that's the guy you're trying to remember.
So I was right.
No, but... Okay... That's not what we were trying to guess. Okay, you get your beer because you're going to be a crybaby about this anyways. What I was trying to get you as, this bozo, when I was talking about Roald Amundsen, was the guy who Roald Amundsen was racing against and Roald was the first. This guy mysteriously disappeared on the way back. And I mentioned that in the Roald Amundsen episode.
I mean, I just remember the letter part. That's all I remember.
So, here now we go to the... Well, he actually... Okay, so the whole expedition got lost on the return journey back. It was Scott and his four companions, Edward Wilson, Henry Bowers, Lawrence Oates, and Edgar Evans.
Those are
the
names?
The callback was... What?
Those are the names that I was supposed to remember?
No. The callback was, so everybody gets it to the point, is when I was making the Roald Amundsen episode, it was all about Roald. But I did mention that at some point there was another bozo that he was racing against. And that guy, first of all, got to the pole later than Roald and actually got lost on his way back. And we actually laughed our asses off about it in the episode.
Oh, that's him now.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That
okay.
Clicked way later than I hoped. Like, I saw in your eyes to click, and that clicked way later than I hoped.
I mean, I'll be real, I basically got it then, no? You don't even have to treat me to a beer, but I feel like I'm pretty proud of myself for this one. That's all I'm going to say.
If I was going to say no right now, if I had not promised the beer, I promise you he would have been a crybaby about this.
No, I wouldn't. I really wouldn't. You, I feel like you tried to paint me out to be like this, some type of like evil crybaby. Like, look at us. I'm just a very normal.
You're all everything we've said in the podcast from your side. I'm gonna pitch together of you being a little bitch, and then like, just put it over your actual voice. This is like, imagine so much effort to put in all those words to have like three sentences.
Are you gonna make me like the Joe Biden bot, like that kind of shit?
Yeah. It's gonna be like completely off bitches. It's gonna be like, ah, oh, you're rude.
I am a little bitch, Rudy.
So what happened, Henry?
That's it? Oh, yeah, that's when he disappeared.
Yeah. No, he took a hike. Take a walk, buddy, on our way back.
I mean, to be honest, you're already in a nice area. Why not take a hike?
It's such a nice area. Antarctic blizzards.
Do you disagree?
Honestly, yes.
This, okay, here's what I think that happened. This is how the fucking glass shattered, right?
You skipped this, by the way, last episode.
Oh, I did? Oh,
it's
shit.
One of my favorite bits you do, but you skipped it last episode.
Well, in this case, this is how the glass shattered, right? He saw a letter, and in it was Roald, right? Who was there before him?
Yep.
In it, Roald wrote, I got your ass, bitch. I was here before you. L plus ratio. Like, that kind of shit. Like, uh-oh, someone sucks.
Get canceled on Twitter. Who's gonna get those followers? Aha!
Exactly. And then, name his name again, because I kind of forgot from our boy this time.
Robert.
Robert, right? Robert was so mad. He was, like, fuming when he read it. He was like, oh, I can't take this. So instead of going back home, he sat down, took out his pen, and started writing back. But unfortunately, due to the extreme cold, his ballpoint pen just didn't work anymore. So we just sat there trying to write, but it just didn't work, right? So it was just like there, like really pressing his pen into the paper, almost scratching it in there. But this process was taking a long time, and a storm was a brewing. So his crew was like, we kind of have to go back if we want to live, Chief. Like, I'm going to be real. This letter here, he's not going to come pick it up. So I don't know what the fucking point of this is anyway. But he was like, nah. Robert was like, nah, I'm not leaving without leaving this message of... He was basically just...
He's like, yeah, you're completely mad. I'm going to fucking finish this even if it's the last thing I do. Foreshadowing!
Exactly.
Just out of the blizzard like a fucking voiceover of the life. Foreshadowing!
It was basically what he was trying to write was the Navy SEAL copy pasta, but just on Antarctic letter, right? And unfortunately, his crew had to leave him there because it was just taking too long, and they didn't see him again. But
if
nobody
you go
else
to
saw
the
crew
South
again.
Pole these days, you will find in like a glacier obelisk, and if you like pull the snow off, it's him frozen in there with his ballpoint pen in his hand and writing a letter.
Could faintly make out.
The legend says that he's just waiting to be unfrozen just to finish that goddamn letter. He would still be writing.
Could slightly make out on his paper. It says, what the fuck did you just say to me, you little bitch?
It's like unstoppable force versus a movable object kind of thing.
It's just a matter of time before he unfreezes and finishes what he started.
Yeah. Okay. Already. I have... I know exactly what happened.
Right.
This guy... Well, everybody knows. Everybody... For some reason, if somebody has a big ego in history or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Everybody remembers that. Nobody remembers that he had a big ego and had a podgy trick. He had a big ego and was actually a writer, you know, like, nice jokester. He had a big ego and knew how to dance. It's always just the ego. Well, for our boy Robert, what turned out... He was actually a little silly boy, in a sense of he was very joyful, very childish. He liked to look into the, you know, little things in life. Liked to do some silly things. And so there he was. Finds the letter on the pole. Okay, well, kinda sucks. But shit, let's head home.
This does not sound like a guy with a massive ego.
And he's heading home. And he just, you know, a bit of ADHD, he's just doing things. And then he's like, oh. My lips are very cold, because it's very cold outside. I wonder if I can still do the sound. So he tries that, and it's because it's so cold, his lips kind of frozen, they fall off. The lips fall off, and he can't speak anymore. And so, The expedition doesn't notice that because it's all like face mask or whatever, and he pulled his down stupidly and did this, and the lips fell off, and he's now mute. And the guys are like, "Yo," because that was a map guy, but Robert is the real experienced one, right?
Right.
And the map guy is just, "Oh, we have to turn right here," and Robert's like, "No, no, we have to turn left." But we got, and he's there like, And these guys are like, "Yeah, Robert's a little silly boy, isn't he today?" So they just keep going in circles, and Robert can't tell them to go in the right direction because these are like, And yeah, and they go in circles and just fucking die because Robert was a little silly boy.
Bro, motherfucker. What? What was the sound?
No, no, you have to do that. This is gonna be so good for the recording, but you have to do that. You're trying too hard. A bit too sloppy.
Like that?
This is what I wish we would have, like, video recording on Spotify. This is fucking so stupid how it looks.
It's also just gonna probably sound bad on the recording as well. Well, imagine getting lost because your fucking expedition leader did a... Maybe the ego came in there because he thought he could do that in like extreme temperatures.
Exactly.
That's where the ego slotted in.
That's what we're talking about. We just these days just assume it was the ego that everybody knows about. But it was actually the ego to live as who you are and not pretend to be who you not are.
So true, Chief.
Grammar.
Tell him, King. Let him know.
Such an asshole.
Well, I think he was a bit of a simpleton, right? He was the one that traveled further south at that one point, right? And then he was like, "I'm going to reach the South Pole first," right?
Yes.
But then Roald was there before him.
Yes.
And said, "Haha, I'm first." But he did not really understand the concept of the South Pole. And because Roald had just put a pole down there, he was like, "Okay, this is the South Pole. But I can go further south than this, to be honest." Like, the pole is here, but I could go further. So what he did is he just kept going.
Well, he wouldn't be further south anymore, right?
Well, that's what he thought, though. Do you get it?
Okay, let's just say he thought to keep moving forward, he would go further south. But he wasn't using a compass anymore.
Exactly.
The compass was just point backwards.
He was going, basically, back up north. Do you know where they landed, actually?
I was in my pitch. It was, they landed on Cape Evans on Ross Island.
Cape Evans? Okay, let's have a look. Let's have a quick look at the Google Maps.
Describe what you're seeing.
Okay. Cape Evans, this is like, a bay, I guess. South, if you would, it's kind of hard to describe this, but it's like south-ish. Yeah, I would say it's straight south from New Zealand. Like, basically, on the border of the world where the time zones swap over is about where it is, if you get what I mean.
I never looked this up, but I think I know what you mean, because from our last episode, I still have that world map with Amelia's Earhart's travel journey, and it has an outline of the world. And are you talking about that one, like, bay that looks like somebody took a chomp out of Antarctica?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. So, if we look at the other side of Antarctica, what do we see there? That's Africa. So, they cross through Antarctica. He still thinks he's going south, right? It's like ocean. He's like, okay, we can do it. We'll, I don't know, there's ice here. Let's float to the next land. It's a very smart move. So they push the ice, and then they land in South Africa, and they're like, holy shit. This is a completely new place. Like, nobody's ever been here. So they just keep exploring through the jungle, and then they meet like the indigenous people, and of course they don't necessarily speak English, so they're like, okay, you know, they're thinking they're making first contact, and then as they go along they just keep going because they're like, we're not going to let Roald ever one up us on this, so we're just going to keep going further south, right? Eventually they cross into Italy.
Yes! 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 Henry, so based for this. I love you for you, who you are, for you could be, and for who you were.
Well, that's just like kind of the natural progression. And then, you know, they really noticed, wow, this is starting to get a lot more similar. But they still didn't catch on that they were just fucking almost back home again. They were just in Italy now. But because they had never been to Italy before, they said they just thought, wow, this sounds kind of similar enough to our language, but also not. And that's when they decided, this place is so beautiful, who cares about Roald? Let's just stay here. And
they
live here.
In Italy?
They stayed in Italy.
Aww,
and then
the
years later, Roald found them and clowned on them extra hard because he didn't. They didn't know what a fucking South Pole was.
This is the best ending we've gotten for anyone.
Actually, let me amend that ending. Roald, having lost his biggest competitor, went on a vacation to Italy. And then he saw him and was like, what are you doing here? And that's when the quarter fell.
And the guy, the simpleton, was like, oh no, he caught up to us.
Yeah, exactly.
He went past the South Pole.
Roald actually beat us here again. Darn you, Roald.
And he came from the other side. That means that there's land on the other side and he was there first.
Exactly. But they stayed in Italy because they gave up.
They fell in love. It was gay love.
I mean, sure, fuck it, why not?
Just to put the cherry on top. Okay. I have another one. So you said he was like fuming for anger because of his ego when he found the letter, right?
Right.
What if he was fuming so hard he melted through the ice on the South Pole? And then he like, because like it's so cold, he melted through it. And then over him, it immediately froze. So it was like, imagine a how do you say this in English? Cross section of an ice sheet.
Yeah.
So cross section of like a glacier, and he's like an elevator capsule just melting through it. And then he gets to the other point. He falls in water. He like apparently there's like, because Antarctica is based on land, but through it goes a river. But it's just under glaciers, and he got in that fucking river. Mm-hmm. And the ice is so clear that half a kilometer up, he still sees his teammates. And they just keep like, you know, they're like, oh, whoa, what the fuck? They keep looking down. They see Scott being down there. They're like, go around! We'll meet you on the other side! Go around! So he was then, he navigated the underwater tunnels of the Antarctica. Mm-hmm. And it was, well, it's kind of like, honestly, a very chill self-care journey. You know, like Lazy River Aquaparks? But this just under Arctic glaciers, you know, funny to look at, a bit colder, but still chilling. The current is drawing you out. A couple of penguins, couple of seals here and there. Just pure vibes, honestly. And he comes out a completely different person. He walks on the ship. Everybody's like, oh my god, he's gonna be so mad because we left him there or whatever. And he's there like, hello, my dear friends, I missed you. He's a completely reformed man, right? And then, but he was like so renowned, so like woke, so correct, then that he just ruined the vibe for everybody else. Everybody's like, they're like, you know, like having a good time. I don't know. Somebody slips, they're like, ha ha, that's funny. But there's like, and then Scott just comes in, you shouldn't laugh, it's other people.
Like a real buzzkill.
Yeah. That's actually very rude. He probably was really physically hurt, and now you took the time to just look at him, and the only thing to choose is to laugh at him. You didn't even participate in a supportive environment. You didn't frustrate a open environment. It just keeps going like this for the whole Bible, right? So they just got sick of it and threw it overboard. And then because they were now murderers, they couldn't return back to Britain. So they were just like, fuck it. We'll just, you know, assume lost, I guess, because of this fucking idiot. And then somebody, unfortunately, got the luck of... Oh, I know what happened. He got he swam ashore on an indigenous island near Australia, and the indigenous people are like, oh my god, look at this. This man coming from land of far beyond. Help us, please, you know, alleviate our society. And he's there like, you know what? That's actually a very... Like, what do you mean by society? Like, explain to me what do you mean by this environment? Because society in general is a very toxic environment. And he just starts going through the spiel, and then the indigenous people are like, fucking hell, what the hell is this now? Throw him back in the ocean. And he just keeps going from island to island and always getting rejected. But because he's so woke, it never hurts him. So he's now this, like, cryptid creature. But unlike the Bigfoot or the Mothman, who allegedly kill people or, like, actual monsters, this guy is the worst of all. Because you just can't stand being near him for far too long.
Bigfoot just kills you. This guy annoys you to death.
Real. It's, if anything, it was the biggest torture device there is on the planet. And everybody, that's one thing the society comes forward to. It's like, there's this unspoken agreement. Every time we meet him, just fucking chuck it over or something. Like, that's not my problem anymore.
Well, Rudy, I have one last idea, which builds off of your idea.
Okay.
Which is, he melted through the ice, right? He made it to the bottom at the river. He's like, okay, navigate to the exit. We'll meet you there. So as he's going down the river, suddenly there's like a little cave system. He's like, okay, let's have a look. And what does he find? It's polar bears. But polar bears only live on the North Pole. So what happened is, the polar bears, you know, they see penguins down in the south. They're like, holy fuck, let's eat these boys. But to make sure we can do this, we need to have a big enough army of polar bears. So they snuck down.
Secret society.
Exactly. They snuck down and built their base under Antarctica as a secret society. And then Robert, he discovered it. And the polar bears were like, well, now that you've seen us, you're not allowed to leave again. So he was held hostage there, quite frankly. As his crew was like, all right, he's not here, it's time to go home. And to this day, the polar bears are still waiting. They're biding their time, right? And one day they're going to fucking get all the penguins.
But listen.
And Robert's going to be right there with them.
You know what? I think actually, because that's what you are taught to believe. That's what Penguin Society wants you to believe, that the polar bears are enemies. But what actually had happened, polar bears used to, same as penguins, live on the South Pole. But the penguins were in such mass numbers, they overtook the polar bears and forced them either underground or out of the continent. The ones who went out of the continent went to the North Pole to live. The ones underground stayed there, waiting a day when they would become strong enough to fight back. But the penguins kept advancing, and they just couldn't, like, they would never get the chance. And then this guy came down, and they were like, oh my god, please, teach us how to kill a penguin. So, he wrote a book, How to Catch a Predator. and then these polar bears. Before then, polar bears were vegetarians. And then, nobody had thought of them. What if we just... What, like, this is psychological and effective warfare. What if you just eat the army that you're attacking?
Right.
and then they, one by one, were just started, like, you know, just killing penguins. But because it was an underground society, it kind of, like, stayed that way, because they already know how to live underground. It's very safe there. Nobody else would go there. I'll go apart from the occasional Robert. So polar bears still live underground, but once in a while, who do you think checks the penguin population count? They waged war on the wrong bears, is all I'm saying.
Every now and then the polar bears hop out to keep the population in check.
Yeah, because Robert advanced their society to the point where they're not smarter than humans, but that's exactly why they don't come out, because humans would just ruin this.
Exactly. Well. One day we will see polar bear domination, huh?
I wish you would not have phrased it that way, but...
Why?
Nothing. Let's go to the resolution, you little silly sausage.
Hit us with the resolution.
I mean, I'm going to be real. No real need for imagination with this one. Due to some wrong choices and severe weather in the region, the expedition perished due to the exhaustion and no food supplies left. Tragically, though, it later turned out that they were only 11 miles from the nearest food depot that could have saved their lives.
Well, sucks to suck, I guess.
Yeah, how much is 11 miles and kilometers, if you know?
It's times 1.6, so I guess like 16, 17-ish kilometers.
Yeah. Still quite some to go, but yeah.
I mean, that's pretty far in like desert, like ice desert landscape, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Roald took all the credit. Scott is still remembered, but well, get Sharon, get good, I guess.
That's what you
get for having a massive ego and trying to claim what should be public land.
Exactly. Well, Rudy, that was it?
Yep, that was the resolution.
All right. Thank you for the episode, Chief. If you want to contact us, please message us at thevagabonddilemma@gmail.com. If you want a more personal place to, well, harass the polar bear uprising.
You know what? You people are getting bored. Sure. Sure. Go 000RUDYS000 on Instagram.
Like, why are you acting like so like, two-faced about this in the last two episodes?
I mean, who cares? Like, sure. Go 30s, root is 30s. Go do whatever the fuck you want. I honestly, sure. So bored these days of you people. So bored. Like, come up with something original.
They're actually kind
for
of
example,
fucked up
like,
for
I don't know, send a message. Like, I don't know, just silly me. Anyways, thank you for my dear co-host for this episode. Well, should I just congratulate you? You're getting your beer? You know what? Sure. As a woke person, as a good friend of Henry, so happy for your win, for your victory. You deserve it.
Thank you. I'll take it, you know.
Sure.
Thank you, King. All right. Well, on that note, have a good evening or not, depending on what time it is for you.
I mean, if it's
goodbye,
morning,
everyone.
We hope you have a good evening. If it's afternoon, we hope you have a good evening. If it's already evening, go fuck yourself.
Okay, real. Goodbye, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye, I guess.